Well, hello and welcome, everybody. You have tuned in to episode number 405 of Linux in the Ham Shack. This is our short topics episode that we cover every other week on the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. And tonight, the usual cast of characters is in your headphones and earworming its way into your brain right now. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NERD.
Oh, I heard a stutter in your audio there.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we just test skipped 1-2.
We heard you. We missed the 4. So you're just a nerd tonight.
I'm just a nerd. That'll be good enough. People get it.
Okay. Good deal. So we should probably get into some of our short topics. And we usually start our short topics with amateur radio. And today is no exception. We decided we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for April Fool's because we're recording on April Fool's Day. And you know what? We just couldn't think of anything. So April Fool's, there's no April Fool.
We're so creative.
Yeah, I know. We're incredibly creative. And if you've been listening to 405 episodes of this program, you already knew that. So, but anyway, let's go ahead and get to our first amateur radio topic today, which is World Amateur Radio Day. And since Bill doesn't know how to edit, he gets to read.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, World Amateur Radio Day. That's a good cut and paste here. Every April 18th, radio amateurs worldwide take to the airwaves in celebration of World Amateur Radio Day. It was on this day in 1925 that the International Amateur Radio Union was formed in Paris. World Amateur Radio Day is a day when the IARU member societies can show our capabilities to the public and enjoy global friendship with other amateurs worldwide. The IARU Administrative Council has chosen amateur radio, home but never alone, as the theme. See, I did make one mistake there. Faced with a pandemic that forced the adoption of extreme physical isolation to reduce the spread of the virus, the worldwide amateur radio community responded positively to overcome the resulting social isolation. In the days and weeks following the onset of the pandemic, radio amateurs reached out spontaneously to one another via the airwaves at the local, national, and global levels. Local wellness nets provided friendly voices and regular status checks to those, especially the elderly, who are confined to their homes. Stay safe, special event stations in dozens of countries reminded us all of the importance of limiting the spread of the virus. On-the-air activity was at an unprecedented level throughout the remainder of 2020, with record-breaking numbers of entries in the major contests. Groups should promote their ward activity on social media by using the hashtag World Amateur Radio Day, all one word, of course, because it's a hashtag, on Twitter and Facebook. IARU will list all the ward activities on this page. To have your ward activity listed, send an email to IARU Secretary Dave Sumner, K1ZZ. And, of course, that was posted on the IARU webpage.
Ah, very good. And World Amateur Radio Day has a special event, which we mentioned in the last episode. So if you want to be a part of that, be a part of World Amateur Day, make sure you get around to that. It's not coming up for a little bit yet, but, you know, it's a thing. So there you go. So moving on, we have, well, I don't know, was there anything to say about that? No, you did paraphrase nicely. All right, so speaking of getting together as ham radio operators, the next thing is no get-together in 2021, as in that's how it's been going for the last year and more. Ham radio exhibition once again suspended, of course. This year as well, the coronavirus pandemic is maintaining a firm grip on world events. Due to current developments regarding the spread of COVID-19, Messe Friedrichshafen has been forced to make a very difficult decision, and we all know what that decision is. It will not take place in the planned time frame of June 25th through the 27th, 2021, but instead will be held from June 24th to 26th, 2022. It was not an easy decision, they say, in quotes, for us. However, an exhibition like Ham Radio depends on a high level of international participation. Due to the current uncertainties in the travel sector, it is simply not feasible to hold it this year, explains Klaus Wellmann, CEO of Messe Friedrichshafen. Project manager Petra Rothgerber, yes, also expressed her great disappointment. She says, "It is deeply regrettable that the event cannot take place as planned. We were so looking forward to our get-together with the industry." Christian Enzfellner, chairman of the German radio club EV Dark, not Dara. I think we've been through that before. Also said, we support the decision of Messe Friedrichshafen to cancel this year's Ham Radio exhibition at this early date. Naturally, we are very disappointed that our meeting with friends in Friedrichshafen will not take place. After all, however, the online version of Ham Radio that is now planned to take place from June 15th to the 27th is a consolation that we very much look forward to, as it will offer our members of Ham Radio friends some interesting surprises. I'm going to assume that was badly spoken or translated or something. I don't know. It didn't flow. But anyway, exhibitors, visitors, and participating partners are currently being notified about these changes. And that comes as a press release from Messe Friedrichshafen, which I'm sure I'm saying very poorly because my German is poor. But anyway, yeah, another event canceled, pushed back to 2022. Let's hope there's a 2022 at this point, because I think we're all tired of this. Anyway, Cheryl, do you want to try and read one? Waiting for her to hit the mute button. Okay, there we go.
Let's see here.
Now switch back to the Etherpad. Get down to the third story.
The Etherpad's on the wrong one, so here we go. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Well, it's like a well-oiled machine, so.
Yeah, we started 30 minutes late. Let's not even go there.
No, it's 8:31, and we're already rolling through, so.
Oh, well, okay, we started 25 minutes late then, so.
Yeah, anyway. So we started early, so I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, so except I'm not prepared, so. So anyway, our next thing is Online Comm Academy 2021 is set for April 10th and 11th. Am I in the right spot?
Yep, yes, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, all right. Everything's screwed up on my computer right now. So the 2021 Comm Academy, April 10th and 11th, is 2 days of training, talks, and information on emergency communications and amateur radio. This year's theme is disasters here, there, and everywhere. Are we ready? Registration is free and required to gain access to the complete schedule and Academy materials. The Academy is entirely virtual and hosted online. It's headquartered in Seattle, Washington. Comm Academy is attended and supported by organizations including Amateur Radio Emergency Service, otherwise known as ARES, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, RACES, Auxiliary Communication Service, ACS, EOC Support Team, Civil Air Patrol, Coast Guard Auxiliary, REACT, and CERT, among others. All interested in emergency and amateur radio communications are welcome to network and share experiences. The event focuses on education for communications leaders, volunteers, and professionals. And that information came from ARRL, and more information will be in the show notes.
All right, very good. Lots of news about events that aren't happening or are happening, just virtual or whatever. it's like the news. COVID just will never go away. Are we thinking that
annihilates everything?
I know. Will there ever be a normal life again? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
We can hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope. All right. Well, so let's talk about some better stuff. Well, of course, the lead topic we have in open source is not exactly better, but at least it's bad in a different way. And once again, since Bill doesn't know how to edit, we'll let him slog his way through this one. And I'm sure this has been a topic that other people have spoken about it up to this point, but it bears mentioning here as well. So, and if this is the only place you get your news, which I'm sure it isn't, then you may not know about this. But anyway, go ahead, take us through it.
If you've been living under a rock, you're just hearing this first time. The return of Stallman to FSF, that's the Free Software Foundation, sparks outrage among open source and free software leaders. Richard M. Stallman, otherwise known as RMS, has always been a polarizing figure. There are people who love him and those who hate him. For example, RMS often clashed with Linus Torvalds. RMS has claimed that the Linux operating system should be called GNU Linux. He also clashed with Eric S. Raymond, one of open source's founders, and others over differences between open source software and free software. And for many years, women have objected to his misogynistic manner and language. The last finally caught up with him when RMS defended the behavior of the late Marvin Minsky, AI pioneer and associate of notorious billionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, who didn't kill himself. Subsequently, Stallman resigned from his Free Software Foundation leadership roles. Then, to the surprise of many, Stallman himself announced that he was back on the FSF board of directors. Based on how other groups and individuals are responding to this move, the FSF board is sadly out of touch with their community. Yes, there are still loyal RMS fans, but that's exactly what they are, fans. Not the movers and shakers of today's free software and open source world. An open letter to the Free Software Foundation states, Richard M. Stallman, frequently known as RMS, has been a dangerous force in the free software community for a long time. He has shown himself to be misogynistic, ableistic, and transphobic, among other serious accusations of impropriety. These sorts of beliefs have no place in the free software, digital rights, and tech communities. With his recent reinstatement in the board of directors of the Free Software Foundation, we call for the entire board of the Free Software Foundation to step down and for RMS to be removed from all leadership positions. It has been signed by Neil McGovern, GNOME Foundation Executive Director and former Debian Linux Project Leader, Deb Nicholson, General Manager of the Open Source Initiative, OSI, Garrett, a who's who's list of free software and open source developers and leaders, and hundreds of others. And of course, this was a story that Russ posted from ZDNet, our favorite place. But there has been many, 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 many write-ups, stories, tweets, and everything else about this. And I'm sure, Russ, you have something to comment on this.
Oh, I don't know. I just, you know, it was, you know, all of this is about stuff he does outside of, you know, Linux and the world of open source and everything that he's being asked to be removed for. But the thing is, he was gone before and probably just should have stayed gone, I guess. I don't know. He's creating quite a stir here, and maybe that's the whole point. I don't know. And if it's an April Fool's joke, it's a really bad one. So,
yeah, I did check the date on it. It came before April Fool's. So.
Yeah, no, I know that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Free Software Foundation needs RMS anymore. I mean, if he's going to act the way he does, then he probably just needs to stay away. I'm not sure that he adds anything to the open source community anymore other than a lot of bitching about things. So I don't know. It is what it is. And I guess we'll see if this open letter to the board actually has any effect on whether or not he remains a part of the FSF or not. Or maybe he'll just find some other avenue to be a part of the open source world and everything. And yes, we've talked about on the show many times about his demanding that Linux be called GNU Linux. But we've also talked many times about understanding the difference between the kernel and the applications that go with it. But a lot of those applications actually came out of the Unix world too. So I don't know. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of GNU Linux and all that tonight. So it's already a pretty negative episode, and it looks like it's not getting any better as we move on to SCO Linux FUD returns from the dead. Oh my goodness. Stephen J. Von Nichols of ZDNet reports. Oh, ZDNet. Huh.
Imagine no, that. I know. I just noticed that too. I was like, darn, I got two stories from ZDNet.
I have literally been covering SCO's legal attempts to prove that IBM illegally copied Unix's source code into Linux for over 17 years. This is him talking, by the way. I've written well over 500 stories on this lawsuit and its variants. I really thought it was dead, done, and buried. I was wrong. Zinuos, which bought SCO's Unix products and intellectual improperty in 2011, like a bad zombie movie, is now suing IBM and Red Hat, illegally copying Zinuos software code for its server operating systems. It just will not go away. it's the old COVID reinvented. Officially, in a statement, CEO Sean Snyder, is that supposed to be Snyder or is it Snyder?
And it's I think it's Snyder. I copied it directly.
So. Okay, so it now says, while this case is about Zinuos and the theft of our intellectual property, it wasn't your intellectual property until you bought it, you douches. it is also about market manipulation and has harmed consumers, competitors, the open source community, and innovation itself. Oh, yeah, I think the open source community has been doing just fine. The copyright claims are almost two decades old now and have been disapproved time after time. Zinuos has expanded these copyright claims to cover IBM's Unix operating systems, such as AIX, as well. Xenios, however, also claims that its litigation is based on specific Unixware and open server operating systems and code that has been long dead for many, many years. Oh, that it came into existence after September 19th, 1995, and not the early Unix code. As for the other claims that IBM and Red Hat split up the Unix Linux market between them and that IBM bought Red Hat to consolidate its market share, Xenios has offered no proof of its assertions. Did you editorialize that, or is that...
No, that's literally how he ended the article.
Okay, I'm so surprised.
Xenios. Gotta love it. The return of SCO. Man, they're going to have to bring back up Grok Law and everything else that covered that those case attempts from years ago. Like, at least what? Last time this has been a story was 11 years, maybe? Something like that?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Both Unixware and Open Server, I guess, have been gone for eons. So,
yeah, there's much more information in the article, and of course, it's linked in the show notes. And one of the things he mentioned was that their FreeBSD product hasn't been selling very well at Xenios, so they're probably looking for some cash.
Well, that's what they were always looking for. They're just like a patent troll now. Anything that has anything to do with SCO is entirely based on patent trolling. It has nothing to do with anything about technology or open source or anything that's good for the community or the environment or anything else. It's all about money grubbing, and it continues. So let's see, how much more negativity can we... look, a positive article. So let's move on from all the negativity on the 1st of April, 2021, and talk about a new Linux OS. And Bill, I'll let you cover this one.
Sure. Yeah, this is introducing funds for open source. The Open Collective is on a mission to make working for an open source project a legitimate alternative to a career working for a for-profit corporation. To achieve their goal, they must remove friction between projects, the communities who support them, and the corporations who depend on their work and can fund them. Big companies call the process for paying for stuff procurement. Can't say it right. Procurement. It's often pretty involved with contracts, invoices, purchase order numbers, and bureaucracy, a painful thing to go through repeatedly for small amounts. It's practically a blocker. It is so much simpler and more practical to ask corporations to make a large payment to one vendor. Make it easy, and companies will invest more. The Open Collective is set up for exactly this. As a combination of an open funding management platform plus an umbrella nonprofit, they are serving 2,500 plus projects. They have a new feature on the platform to make the experience even better and more scalable. Funds. And that's from the Open Collective. I'm not sure how I personally feel about this. This is simply a pass-through organization that is most likely skimming some money off the top, you know?
Well, everybody's going to make it from somewhere. And stuff.
Yeah, and then micro-paymenting other projects and stuff, I guess, assumed based upon how you want your money to be distributed or something like that. I haven't really gone into the details of it, but if you're interested in funding open source, this is one mechanism to fund it. And possibly also another opportunity for your project to get listed as a recipient of funds. So that's something to think about and look at if you have a project that is in need of funding and not really getting funding from other places. Definitely, I would kind of look into it. But you know, buyer beware. It is a pass through nonprofit.
Did that story just get dumped in there? Because I could have sworn I went straight from ZDNet to the Flash topic. I did not.
No. I might have reorganized it since you were there last. But
okay, because I was introducing the next topic, and which probably made you think it was weird because I was talking about a new distribution and you were talking about open source funding. But
oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I literally scrolled down from the last article about SCO and it was Alma Linux. So I don't know what's going wonky with the Etherpad, but whatever.
Oh, I did move something a little while ago. Maybe it didn't save properly.
Maybe it didn't update right.
Yeah, it's possible.
Whatever. It looks good now. So anyway.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just jump into this next one. This Flash topic, which of course is just as long as all the rest of them. So I'm not sure why you call these Flash topics. Alma Linux OS stable release is now live. And this comes from directly from the release announcement. We are very happy to announce today that we are releasing the first Alma Linux OS stable version. That's right. You can go right ahead and download the stable version and use it everywhere you need a stable, reliable Linux distribution, because there are no others. For some time now, we are also have the conversion script in our GitHub repository, so you can also convert your system to Alma Linux OS stable using it if you don't feel like reinstalling from scratch. Well, gee, that's nice. Alma Linux OS, the forever free open source enterprise grade Linux, is ready. Now, Alma Linux is a Red Hat rip, right?
I'm not sure. This is one of the CentOS. Yeah, so it'd be Red Hat, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We are also announcing the formation of a nonprofit organization that will take over responsibility for managing the Alma Linux OS project going forward, and some of the board members that will steer that effort. You'll have more details about it in an upcoming post, but you can check the recording of the presentation event where we talk to some of them and get their view for the future of the project and where they see Alma Linux OS going forward. So after about 4 months since the decision to steer CentOS in a different path, you now have a one-to-one binary compatibility drop-in replacement. Hey, yay. For people who use CentOS, it's going to probably screw with my work for quite a few months. with a very long support time frame, you can use it for any general purpose computing need and bare metal installations of virtual machines and containers and cloud providers. We got you covered with official images for all those cases. And have we mentioned ARM support is coming soon too? Can it ham? I don't know.
Oh, Bill, yeah. Can that it was ham?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I didn't get to test that yet, so I was like, oh, it's enterprise grade. It should ham, right? We could do it. I will say that the image that I downloaded from them was their full DVD, and it was 8 point something gig.
So okay.
I didn't have time to actually to load it up yet, but it is on my to-do list to VirtualBox and take a look into it.
I will definitely have to check it out as well, because I know we use a bunch of CentOS at work, and if this is going to be the upgrade path for CentOS, since CentOS is now, I guess, officially dead, that I'm going to have to put this on my radar. So I'm going to have to test it out and see how it goes. What does it say, which version of CentOS it's a direct compatibility with? Is it 7, 8? Do you know?
I did not look at that. Sorry, no.
Okay, not a problem. Information, of course, is going to be in the show notes, and I'll be looking at the show notes so I can figure out what I'm doing next with Alma Linux.
Absolutely.
And moving down to Linux in the Ham Shack topics, we only have one for tonight because, you know, it is what it is, but it's another Linux distribution. It's one we have talked about before, and wasn't Gojira, or not Gojira, what's the new one?
Garuda.
Garuda, that's it. Wasn't that like where this went? Or is
no still? No, we had that that article that said the sexiest desktop. The sexiest desktop is no longer Deep End.
It's now Garuda. Oh, okay, got Garuda right. So, but apparently, Deep End, that wonderful Chinese distribution, is still a thing, and there's a new release.
Yeah, this is Deep End 20.02. Of course, they don't follow the years, so who knows? But this this just came out. Besides the updates of Deep End applications, Deep End 2002 comes with an optimized UI and user experiences and some new features. The kernels are upgraded to kernel 5.10 for LTS and 5.11 stable. And the repository is updated to Debian 10.8 for better stability and compatibility. In Deep End 20.02, I should probably put the O there because they didn't. You will discover better system performance. So I did get this loaded up on the old VM, and it was fairly dog slow in my VM. But you know, they kind of say that's going to be a problem. but do you have? Well, when you first install it, it does have a pretty desktop. I do have to say that. Is it prettier than, or sexier, I should say, sexier than Garuda? No, not really. But it is sexy. And I was kind of thrown off at the very beginning because it does not have access to, like, the ham radio pure blend and all those good things that we like throwing on a ham radio ready distribution. So the score was plummeting rapidly. But I did a simple apt install software properties common, and guess what? Hey, I can now get to all the stuff that I was looking for, and I'm currently installing the Ham Radio Pure Blend in here, and it looks like it is working fabulously. I don't have everything installed yet, but at this point I can say that it's a standard Debian feel to getting your software installed. So getting software on here should be no problem. So it's just that one extra step that you need to do, which is kind of important, right? Software properties common. That's what you need to install. And then you can go on from there like you're on a normal Debian-based system. So, yeah, so check it out. It I'd give it an LHS score, you know, with that one little hiccup, probably like a 4.1. So I'm just going to set it in stone that it's at 4.1. It is quite sexy. I did run the system updater, which did have a package ready for updating. It did take quite a long time. It does do a backup right beforehand, so I'm not sure to what extent that actually does. But if you've used DeepEnd before, you know they do some custom applications in it as well. So that's kind of a cool thing. You can check out their applications. Some of the stuff you will have to switch out of like your browser's default search engine is Baidu. So not very, friendly for us, but you can obviously change that to, you know, your favorite DuckDuckGo or whatever you happen to use for your search engine. And of course you can put on, you know, whatever browser you want as well. Hey, you can even put Edge on here. Why not? So it looks like, this one is good to go. And, yeah, I think you'll be happy with it. If you're a DeepEnd user and familiar with it, it should be no surprise to you that it is going to look really nice. It's got a new bottom bar, which all your icons sit in. It's, I think the last one was more of a dock. This one is more of a panel instead of a dock. So, gives you a lot more information all in one spot down at the bottom of the screen. And I'm sure you can move that around if you want to. And the background is, you know, pretty cool. It's kind of like a gradient pink to blue with a big DeepEnd logo and stuff like that. So, yeah, check out DeepEnd and don't be afraid to use it for a ham radio shack computer.
Well, I would not be afraid to use it, but you know, I have my old standbys and, I got to get a machine that's good enough to do VM environments with. The ones that I have here are aging poorly and don't really have enough RAM and resources to do VMs particularly effectively. So
I just use this Precision and just beat the heck out of it. I'm just going to use it till it dies. It's got 32 gigs of RAM.
Oh, I wish. If I ever
Gen something i7, it shows its age here and there. That's for sure.
Yeah, if I ever get my work computer that I can bring up here and use it for home when they buy me a new one, then I'll because it's got 32 gigs of RAM and a RAID array and everything else in it, so it's pretty decent.
It makes it nice to do. Yeah, it makes it nice to do VMs with it because you can, you know, throw some serious RAM at it and a bunch of extra processors and still get some decent performance.
Right. All right, cool. Well, that brings us down to the end of our stories. And I saw earlier in the chat that Dan, KF5TQN, shouted death to SCO. So it's funny how we thought it already was, but, you know, whatever. Like I said, it's obviously putting in an appearance on The Walking Dead. But I think that brings us down to our social media roundup. And I hear the dogs sort of barking in the background, so... So this might have some accompaniment.
Woof, woof, woof.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like a train's coming by or something. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so to the dulcet tones of dogs barking, I guess you can do the social media roundup.
All righty, then. So our Patreons this time are Patrick Ang. I'm assuming that's the correct pronunciation. I'm
going to go with it. Probably going to go with Ainge, like the famous basketball player from Boston.
Probably. They could be related. So.
They could be. Yep.
And he's new this time. We also have Douglas Schock, Eric Guth, Brandon Rozek, John Spriggs, Robert Lewis, Robert Pitts, Douglas Redder, David Jakeway, Darren King, Cubicle Nate, Erno Gastalis, Samuel Vimes, Peter Caffrey, Richard Gordon, Paul Griffith, Jonas Rulo, Donald Gover, Herb Garcia, Steve Sainer, Steve Metcalf, William Heckelman, Randolph Smith, and Andy Webster. For our subscriptions, we have Eric Muller and Carl Backus. Those are both new. We also have Isaac Geyer, Thomas Foy, Michael Burdack, Kevin Ivey, Tony Coberly, Ronald Ikey, Johnny Kinsey, Peter Spots, Fred Cole, Bill Pioter, Jeffrey Boris, Robert Halliday, Wayne Hale, John Clark, Steve Hepler, Michael Jopling, Roger Pereira, Howard Dittmer, Todd Bowers, Michael Carey, A. Taylor, Dylan Engel, Jim McKenzie, Bill Collins, Robert Black, Darren King, Randolph Smith, Robert Yerke, Steve Biella, Alan Wilson, Mark Farrell, and Jeff Zimmerman. On Facebook, we had Mike Baxter. I'm assuming that's the last man standing Mike Baxter.
It is.
Yes, that joined us. We also have Steve Hagerman, Danessa Fryer, and David Potter. On Twitter, we had at Ham Radios Canada, at BlackDaw5595812, at ToddEye, at Penguin06946998, and at OpenRTX. No YouTube joiners. Russ is still working on the mailing list, trying to get it recovered, and there were no merchandise sales.
Yes, you cannot sign into the mailing list right now. However, I discovered that even though the mailing list blew up, I still have the lists. So I haven't lost anything as far as data. I'm just trying to convert it over to Mailman 3, which has become quite a bear of a project. But as soon as I figure out how that works, I will get the mailing list back up and running and we'll be able to use it again. I'm glad to know that I did not lose all the lists. because that would have sucked. But anyway, thank you for the social media roundup. And that brings us down to the end of the show. And with that, we want to mention the folks who are listening to us live and chatting with us in the chat room tonight. We had a pretty good crowd here. We had Ted, WA0EIR, Don, KC9ZMY, Tony, K4XSS, John, K1BTZ, Darren, VK6EK, and Dan, KF5TQN, who are in the Discord keeping us entertained as we sit here and talk to you about different amateur radio and open source topics. And with that, we will close out this very unfoolish April 1st episode of Linux in the Ham Shack, number 405. And we hope you all have a great week and will join us for our next deep dive episode 406, which will come out in a week's time. And in the meantime, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.